Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Spin Rack. I'm here with my boys, PD and Kyle. Hey, say what's up, gents?
Hey.
Hey, ready to rock.
Hey, today we're going to be talking about that hit show on Hulu. Disney Plus finally got it right. Shogun! Based off of the James Clavell novel, loosely based on real events, where you have an Englishman who ends up in the...
You mean Hulu, not Disney Plus. You can watch it, but it's still going to Hulu, right?
But Disney owns Hulu. Yo, what are we throwing off? You're breaking up the intro, okay?
You trying to give props to Disney Plus when it's a Hulu show.
It's a Disney show no matter what you call it.
It's not.
Or Star, it's Disney Plus. They own it.
It's a Hulu show. If that's the case, Disney's still screwing up because they put they made Prey, for Hulu.
Oh, my God. We are digressing so much. We're digressing so much. So look, again, the show dropped. The first five episodes have been out. It has been spectacular. I'm pushing it on to my guys, say what they think about it. Has it met our expectations? I can tell you right now, I can do a review real quick. 5 minutes. Yes, yes, and yes. But, to be fair, I'm going to let our boy Cal give his 2 cents.
Well, I have to admit, it took me a while to warm up to this series. I saw the 1980 series. I think we discussed it already in a video. I really enjoyed it, and I didn't want to see a large deviation from that overall story because that's what made it very much enjoyable. And the story that they had with the 1980 series was, for the most part, what I'm hearing is a faithful adaptation of the novel. They didn't take a lot of liberties. What do you mean, not really? Speak on that.
They have some liberties and different things, but it's not a major thing. I always say, does it detract from the story? No. They did a really good job.
When it said faithful adaptation, it means that if you read the novel after watching the series, there would not be a great number of differences, and the differences, for the most part, would be inconsequential. As different to where, hey, this is loosely based on the novel, and we're just going to do our own thing.
They're generally faithful to the novel, yes.
Yeah.
And the series coming out in the old 1980. Was it 80 or 89 series?
It was in 1980.
Okay, 1980, yeah.
Yeah, so I went in, and, they focus, a couple of things I didn't really take to was, one, Torinaga talks more in this. He talked more in one episode than he did in the entire 1980 series. And I didn't care for that because I liked the fact that he was more enigmatic. You didn't really know what he was thinking. There was a great scene in the 1980 series where he's interviewing Blackthorne for the first time. And then Blackthorne asks, what did he say? And Lady Mariko checks him very quickly and says, hey, you don't get to ask questions. He's not going to, he only is going to speak and get what he needs. And that's it. It was this is a one-way conversation at the end of the day. So that part I really felt was missing. I'm too much into the machinations of what Torinaga is planning, and that takes away from a bit of what I liked in the original. And the actor who's playing Torinaga now has a heart. He's just got some big shoes to follow in terms of the original. How was it? Actor was Mifune. It's just really hard. Those things were hard for me to get along. However, by the third episode, John Blackthorne looked like he's totally out of sorts and moping around half the time with this weird look on his face. There's a scene, where Lady Mariko comes and tells him, look, everybody else is leaving, but you got to stay here. And she's pretty much telling him, you're going to stay here because they're going to kill you, okay? But we're all going to get on the black ship, and we're going to be good at the end of the day. And then the camera comes in, and it focuses it on, and he's got that same mopey look on his face. And I'm like, I don't believe this. And then finally he just says, well, no, fuck that. And then he just takes over the ship. It's like, no, we're getting out of here. We're getting out of here. And I'm like, yes, finally. Finally, you give this guy some character. This is why this guy has value. He's a pilot. And then he's on a ship with guys that he's already piloted before, so they trust him, even though they don't speak the language. He's stamping on the ship. He's like, bro, these guys don't need to know. They're like, look, they're pulling everything. Every time you see him, it's chest heaving to the oar. Heaving to the oar. Come on. Pull it. And then he's going, and he does such a good job that even Rodriguez, who should be running him off, is like, magnificent valor. I can't kill this dude like that, especially when I owe him my life. No. Finally, I was able to get into it because the main character was acting like a main character, something that I could actually vibe with and get that particular verb from. So as of episode 3, I'm on board. But before then, I was like, you're giving me this character's got speaking time. This character's got speaking time. I don't care about any of these people. They're not the focus. These ancillary characters that you're trying to do to, you know, I guess, broaden out.
Whoa. And
the nonsense. And then what is this?
I think sequence? One of the main differences now is that the
old. Hold on, man. I'm not done. 10 episodes. Then you got Lady Mariko, okay, who stands 5 feet tall, and then you have that assassination attempt, and she grabs the Naginata to go fight. I'm like, the Naginata's bigger than you. This is ridiculous. The idea is like, look, I understand that you want to show her as being a woman and capable. How about being a woman and smart? Get out of the way. Let's get out of the way at this point. I don't believe that you would be capable of using that particular weapon. Something smaller, yeah, you can be quick. But, you know, the Naginata is like 6 feet. She's 5 feet. No, hell with that.
They historically had many tall, short samurais who did use a Naginata. So.
And they were female? And they were female?
You didn't say female. You're saying short.
And they were female? And they were female?
Weak and short, weak and female? Or are you saying just because they've been, if you just
they
say.
Wow. They were 5 feet tall. They were female. And they were fighting in a kimono. Doesn't sound like a samurai to me.
The samurais fought in kimonos, right? Didn't they fight in kimonos? The outfit, they put their armor above the kimono. That's their general's gown. They don't take off that kimono. They change. So, yeah.
Sir, are being completely disingenuous, and you are too much a student of history to try to get away with that. Yeah. Go ahead and smile, Mr. No Stash. No Stash.
So, Petey, what's your take on it so far?
Well, I'm not as far into the show as Cal. I've watched the first two episodes. I did find it interesting. I was kind of not with the John Blackthorne character, but it sounds like it kind of steps up a little more. But it's, you know, it's kind of the stuff that would be in 1980 would be like a big deal, but we've heard it so many times. It's like looking at, and there's no statement against the show, but it's like with the Harry Carey and that sort of thing and the stuff about the family stuff. It's interesting to see where it's something that we've kind of seen in not just in the original Shogun, but we've seen it so many different ways in like the SNL with John Belushi. So it's kind of like after all this time trying to get back to having the same story, but I'm glad that they kept it in as it is. But before the first two, I'm just so kind of okay with it, but it sounds like it's picking up when it gets to episode 3. So I got something to look forward to, but that's not throwing it out with the baby out with the bathwater. It's definitely done well. And I'm, you know, it's hard not to fall for Mariko in this series. So I'm with it so far.
I think both Marikos were good, even the original
series. I'm not saying anything bad about the other one. I'm just saying we're watching this one now. I'm not going back and forth and saying this and that.
No, I get it. And I think you're right. This is definitely a pretty good adaptation of the film. And I think one of the things that it's doing is trying to show us more of what's going on. You know, I mean, we have, even in the book, we also see they literally have whole pages dedicated to people the other characters are also explaining what they're doing and how they're doing it, which you don't necessarily always get in the original 1980 series, which is more focused directly on Blackthorne and what's going on, and he sees it. But we see here there's a whole battle of what's going on with the lords and Toranaga, of course, is central to this, and we see this spread out a little bit more, where you have some of the other lords having more of a say, more of a conversation of what's going on. I can see what you're saying with him, but back then that theory was like a fish totally out of water, and we're trying to develop it. And we see the same thing goes with the current Blackthorne, the actor. What's his name again?
Richard Chamberlain?
No, the current one, right? The actor's name is Cosmo Jarvis. And you see, I mean, some people say he looks like, I think I said it, and other people have said that he looks like Tom Hardy, right? He kind of gives that type of a look. But he's been in a lot of other films, and he can act up and act down. I guess the actor, the director, is basically saying, hey, in the beginning, you know, you have to be a forceful. He's a pilot, but in essence, what we would call the captain of the ship, because he's the one, you know, directing where the ship could go or doesn't go. But he is a very strong personality. He has to be able, because these men are unruly. You know, as you know, in the next series, his own men are going to go against him at one point. He has to have a strong force of personality. So that's what we're getting. He's here coming to a new land. He's not sure how to navigate himself. So, yeah, he kind of is off. So if you go into the episode further, you're going to see some of the things he says are going to cause unexpected reactions by the Japanese there. And he's going to be like, oh, it means that. That's like kind of nuts and stuff like that. But I think he's doing pretty good. It's a little different than the Chamberlain. And Chamberlain is, Richard Chamberlain is a different animal. You know what I'm trying to say?
Richard Chamberlain is cool. Okay. Richard Chamberlain was like, I'm not coming over here looking like I'm just been vomited out of some sea beast. Okay. The lady's got to like me. My hair's got to be nice. Okay. All right.
Well, and that's then, true. Richard, I mean, look, Richard, we know, no one can doubt Richard Chamberlain was the king back then because of that. But I mean, is he going to be, are we saying this guy, Cosmos, is, nah, I wouldn't necessarily say that. They're playing him more down to earth. But let's look at what we could
see. No. They're doing that. They want to do this like method acting like Dustin Hoffman and Laurence Olivier had that discussion where Dustin Hoffman shows up and he looks like hell. And Laurence Olivier is like, good God, man, what's going on with you? And he's like, oh, I'm doing the method acting. You know, I didn't eat and I didn't sleep so I can get into the role. He's like, what do you do? He's like, I try acting. That's pretty much what the difference is right here.
Yeah.
Richard Chamberlain,
hold on, man. You know, Richard Chamberlain was coming out of the old school, like Errol Flynn, where the pilot, the sailors, they had that bravado, okay, yes. They were swashbuckling, that type of stuff. This, okay, Cosmo, they're one of the, like, oh, no, you've been over here and you're starving and now they're going to treat you like a peasant and this, that, and the other. Every other thing, you're going to look like you're halfway dead or getting ready to cry, that type of stuff. And it was finally in episode 3, it was like, no, man, you finally got some gusto out of this dude. It's like, you're supposed to be a pilot. You're talking about you're going for adventure. And every other thing is like, no, you know, we see like a little bit of fight. Got to show some swag, dude. Okay, come on. And finally in episode 3, he was a man. Finally.
But you see, the problem is I think you're being a tad bit disingenuous because we see what happens. I think it's in episode 1 or episode 2 where Nabujaya, I forgot his name, how to pronounce his name, he boils a man alive because he wants to see how they die, right?
Right.
You get that. So you're going to say he's not going to act out and say, yo, let's do all
these. You know, I'm sorry. You're adding a little plot to the plot.
I'm just trying to say he's adding stuff. I'm saying here that he's being restrained to a degree because if you go out of hand, remember, you have the Portuguese there saying these guys are devils and demons and they're pirates and stuff like that. And we know that that's exactly what they were. You know, but they have license of mark from the Dutch government or for the English government. And so that gives them the right to attack Spanish ships and land and stuff like that. And it's all written in his book or his rudder. And so we have that. And so he knows, and the Spaniards get it, and they're going to translate it, and they're going to say, hey, because they know they're pirates, because nobody's supposed to be there but Portuguese and Spanish, right? And so he's trying to, like, navigate, how do I, you know, say, hey, we're at war with these dudes and survive, right? And so that's the essence right there.
I'm just talking about the boiling part and adding that he had maybe had some fear and that's why he's holding back. He's like,
I think you have a fear, a lot of fear. The first episode, the dude is talking, he's talking to a dude and they cut off your head. Yo, I think you're going to say like, yo, these people are not playing by the same rules I am. Clearly.
I think it's kind of the prisoner mentality, especially someone in my mind is someone that, all right, I can't do anything. I'm weak. Like, you know, like a tiger in a cage. It's like, all right, they're doing this, that, and the other. You get 2 steps in too close, even if it could lead to my death later.
I'm going to kill you.
The jokes is coming.
That's right.
A tiger, the jokes is coming. But if you're totally outnumbered in a foreign place, you know, I mean, look, the Europeans, when they were doing conquests in different places, they were like, hey, you know what? We don't have to bow because we have our own queen, and this is what we're supposed to do.
Too much apology. A tiger in a cage is still a tiger, okay? We don't come to look at a tiger in a cage because we expect him to be docile, tamed, and beaten. We come to look at him because he's still a tiger, and that's what you want. We didn't get that tiger until episode 3. I'm happy we did.
So the question comes down. One of our main concerns was that we thought it was going to focus, based on the trailers, mostly on
Mariko,
the Japanese characters.
Mariko. We thought it was going to be Mariko.
One of the pleasant surprises is that it still has a stronger focus on Blackthorn and how he's navigating this whole thing. I mean, how do you feel about that, Petey?
I'm okay with it. I mean, I more want to see the culture, but at the same time, we got to see that early on. So having the interaction, that's the thing that we're supposed to be, you know, like obviously because they're looking for the original one is going through the 18 to 20 or 18 to 35. So basically, we look at ourselves as a Blackthorn character. So at some point, that's what we kind of want to experience of him, the culture through his eyes, and experience that sort of thing. So, but now we don't, you know, it's a little more where we can see the culture on our own and accept it. But at some point, we can either pick some of the other characters that we like. But I think, you know, I'm fine with what's been going on so far.
Now,
I think I've been pretty clear. If you give me a character that I got, you know, I can actually connect to, okay, get some verb from, I'm with you. The biggest challenge was trying to be as objective as possible with this series, having really enjoyed, and you don't fool me, because we already talked about the original series and I know how much you liked it. So you're coming over here, you know, playing white knighting for this series right now,
He
okay?
told
Over
you
here
that he
cape.
liked it?
He loved it. He loved the book and he loved the original series. And now he's over here caping for this one. Like, no, this show is definitely not perfect and it's borrowing a lot from the original, but it's trying to stand on its own 2 feet. It's made a lot more tributaries in terms of story from the original stream that, you know, we see from the book or that we saw from the original series. That doesn't mean I don't like it, but you know, it has very stiff competition in terms of a very well-written novel and a very well-executed series that came before it. So I'm looking at certain things like, no, you didn't need to do that. Could have done this. And, you know, but I still, you know, kept, you know, was very open towards it. And I was just very happy that I stayed with it and finally got something in episode 3. I was like, okay, finally, you know, give me something that, you know, give me something I can rock with at the end of the day. So that was, you know, for me, that was cool.
You're telling me all you've seen before, you don't like the way the series has been developing, how it looks. I mean, I think the look of the series is fantastic. Clearly, Disney has spent tons of money on this.
He's told you about character, hasn't he?
So yeah, we're talking about character, but I'm talking about the look, right? The feel of the film. You know,
What about it?
authenticity and
Sorry.
No, I can't with you two. But overall, we're gonna give this series
Look,
out of five,
if
out
you,
of three stars,
no,
three out
no,
of three
no, wait,
stars, okay? You're gonna give it a
no.
star, I'm gonna
If
give it a star, and Pete gives it a
you wanted
star.
to go, if you want to go that route, what we're talking about is the setting, okay, and local color, if you will. And some of the stuff, I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, I was able to rock with it. Like one of the big differences, say from the 1980 series and the current one, is that when Richard Chamberlain's character is given a kimono, he's given a very nice kimono. Very, you know, this is like an upper class kimono that he's given to wear. Whereas Blackthorne in this series is given a peasant kimono. You can tell that, you know, hey, you can tell just by looking at the way he's dressed. And you know, not just Toronaga, but even Lady Mariko, that okay, he's given like a peasant, and I'm pretty certain once he gets a step up, he'll get some nicer clothing. Actually, he's gotten nicer clothing over the way, because at first he was just had the kimono, he didn't have any leggings. I don't even know if he had like proper shoes, or they just gave him you know, some of the sandals, like the wooden sandals. That was it. Like, hey, buddy, you know, rock on, if you will. So you know, there's little things like that. I'm like, okay, that's cool, but you know, again, with the original series, they did a lot. You know, they did a lot in terms of trying to be as true to what would have been Japan at that time. And then the biggest difference that you have is that from 1980 to you know, to now, I'm pretty certain people learn more, okay? People have a better understanding of how to do stuff. They're like, oh no, we can fit this in and still make it seamless without it coming across odd. Or they may think, oh no, these things are actually important, where before they might have said, no, this isn't very crucial to the story. So those type of things I don't have any problem with. And I enjoy them as well. And you know, again, it adds the setting to local color, but I didn't come in here to look at people running around feudal Japan. There's a story here that's supposed to be getting my interest. And if the story is centered around a character that you are making to the point a mope, well, let me not call him a mope, that would, you know, but a guy moping around at the end of the day, or looking like he's not just out of sorts, okay, but out of his depth, again. You know, episode 3 for me was like, this was a pivotal moment because they left him there to die. Okay? They left him there to die. And at that point, he's like, I don't have to play by you guys' rules. Yeah, you know, I don't have to play by you guys' rules. If I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna be the tiger in the cage. I'm gonna go out fighting. And the best way that he can fight is by using his skills as a pilot. That they executed very well. I know I've said it several times by now, but that right there gives gravitas to this guy being the center of the story, because otherwise it could just be anybody else and he's just being buffeted around. There has to be something, there has to be some gravitas to him, to make it worthwhile for us to tune in, for a character like Lady Mariko to even want to have some sort of relationship with him, and for him to be so important to Torinaga. But for two episodes, or for the majority of three episodes, I wasn't getting that. He was just there. Finally, he showed why he's important.
You repeated, we got it. Okay.
Now, I would like to say, no, before you go there, I would like to say, since you brought it up, Cal mentioned it, and our viewers, our commenters have said, I'd like the idea that we've talked about the old series to the current. And since you also have knowledge of the novel, I want you to talk about Mars. I want you to talk about the comparison between the two and or the book, however you want to do it. But this is what our people kind of want to hear.
It's been a long time since I read it. I'm just going back into the book. I mean, and this is what I'm trying to say. Some of the things, like when Cal is saying, well, dude, you know, the 80s focus more on, of course, Blackthorn. You do have a lot more background understanding of the characters, because you hear the background characters in their own heads talking about what's going on. And so here now they're expressing it on camera a bit more, you know, where before, I mean, they would, but not quite to the same degree. So that's where I think that they're doing a better job where they're trying to capture the whole, I mean, the book is, 1,200 pages. It's humongous, you know? So there's a lot that goes on that you have to cut down just to get to what you got in the last series versus this new series. And I understand, like I said, a lot of people, the focus has to be Blackthorn because he's who you're looking at the story through, you know, but there's a lot more in terms of if you're saying, look, I just want to see what happened in 1980. So that's going to be a different thing. You may be a little bit disappointed. I think it's faithful, but there still will be some disappointment because they've expanded it more to bring in some of the other characters to give them a little bit more depth and more feeling of what's going on, you know? And where I disagree with him, I think Sonata, who plays Torinaga, is doing an excellent job, you know? He's giving him the gravitas. He's showing his political calculations and machinations and what he's doing, how he's going about to achieve some of these things right here. But look, Blackthorn at the beginning is not sure where he has his footing here. And so as you see on, he starts realizing, who am I? I'm a pilot. And I have to utilize the skills that I have as a pilot to get to where I have to go, you know? And so he, even in the book, he explains how before you can even become a pilot in England, for example, you had to go to a special school and you had to apprentice for like 10, 12 years, you know? And so you got taught by these pilots. You met all the top captains at the time, you know, like Francis Drake, who went around the world. He wanted to join that at one point, but they're like, no, you have to focus on studying to be a pilot, you know? And of course, when Francis Drake came back, most of the people who went died, but he came back and he became a millionaire. And so his whole thing, his motivation is like, yo, I'm going to do something like that. I'm going to go out to the East. I'm going to get tons of money. I'm going to come back to England. I'm going to be super rich, you know? And so you have this strong motivation that he has. And when he comes, and one of the things that keep him throughout the whole series, where he's constantly has, he's constantly faced with crisis and issues, and how he has to constantly, through his belief in himself and belief in what he wants to do, that he's able to survive. And Richard Chamberlain did a great job in that. You know, no one can take that away. This character is, yes, he is, we're not going to say he's not a little mopey. He is a little mopey at the beginning, but he has to get his footing, and his footing is very in quicksand right off the stop. Because remember, he's not even the head of the ship. They have a captain general who's in charge. They have five ships where they left, and they have him. He's still alive. You know what I'm trying to say? Whereas he was just in charge of just one ship, where, you know, as a pilot. So it's a lot of those type of things come up, and they miss. Because the captain general is sick, you have them choose him to be basically the leader and take him out, you know, so that he's treated better, because as a leader, he should be treated better as opposed to the other people who are not leaders, right? So he's able to have the ability to walk around the whole town. He has his nice thing. He's taking a bath. He's in the house of the headman where he's able to relax. He's able to get food. In the book, he's able also to get a little bit nooky too, you know?
That's right.
Initially, but yeah, they don't even talk about the nookie right off the bat. But they all got nookie, and then the middle.
Like, yeah. Well, 1980 series, it was okay. 1980 series, like, hey, would you like somebody to pillow with? And he's like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, well, wait a minute. Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, but the character basically, but he doesn't. He in the book, he doesn't say no. He's like, okay, let's rock with it. You know, but I mean, he's not pushing it as much. So it's a very interesting
thing. Wait a second. You're saying that this portion of him saying no is more playing to today's sensibilities.
It's playing to more today's sensibilities. Back then, he was like,
today's sensibilities, he
doesn't make a big deal about Nookie.
You're in a foreign country. You don't know if you're going to live or die. And they're like, hey, would you like some sex? Nah, that's okay.
It's the custom, you know?
They say when you're a hostage, you're supposed to eat the food. Sorry to say, you're supposed to do that first.
The one thing they show here, like in a book.
You eat the food and you take the...
So what they show in the book versus here, just this is just the beginning, is that you have the men. They are initially, you know, kept separate in a separate house, like basically like a prison, right? But a nice prison. They're able to eat. They're able to get nookie. They're able to, you know, stay around there. But here, they show them all in prison. They don't get to do anything. They're starving. Well, which the opposite. It does eventually happen to them. Well, they're put into prison and stuff like that because, well, it depends on who you talk to. One that Blackthorn went overboard, he attacked the priest and stuff like that, so that caused an issue. Or it's just, you know, the Lord just wanted to do. But it again, it doesn't take away from the story because it's essentially the same thing. It's just that you have to cut some things out. You know, you can't say every single thing that happened. You know, so it makes sense. I'm okay with it, and it doesn't detract to me. But the character, I think we need to give Cosmo a little bit more time to develop. And so as you watch, you'll see Cosmo develop into a more...
You're saying the actor needed to develop, right?
I think, I don't know if it's direct.
Cosmo, so you mean that the actor needs to kind of get his footing.
And yeah, which means he... So all I'm hearing from you is that you agree with me. So I don't know why you're disagreeing with me so hard. Just rock with me.
No, and also given the knowledge that you have...
My card and you can answer for me, okay?
No, the knowledge that you have is necessary to what our viewers want to hear, at least the ones that watched our episode. They liked when Cal was talking about the original series. They were fans of it. That's why they were drawn to seeing the new one. So this is the information that they're going to want to hear. Hopefully.
I mean, look, this series is so... Right. I look at the cinematography is beautiful. You know,
Let me ask you a question, okay? I know you saw the original series. We've already established this. I know you wrote the book. Yes. Okay, I know you read the book as well. You're going doing a quick reread so, you know, you can do a good comparison. Okay, but come on, truthfully, Richard Chamberlain was cool, right?
Richard Chamberlain, the boss. I didn't
know that. Richard Chamberlain was cool.
He's the boss.
So if you had a choice to be Blackthorn played by Richard Chamberlain or Blackthorn played by Cosmo, which guy would you choose?
So here's the problem with Richard Chamberlain that I found in watching the show. Richard Chamberlain is not a humble dude, you know? And so one of the things Richard Chamberlain shines is like, I don't know, it's like saying The Rock, you put The Rock in a place and then The Rock is the one who has to handle all the stuff. Richard Chamberlain, you know, he barely can handle that. You know what I'm trying to say? Richard Chamberlain is a star. He's going to shine. He's going to kill it. And I think that in the book, it's a little bit more nuanced where he has to pick his choose. Like you said, that thing when he was talking to Mariko and she's like, yo, dude, you don't ask this guy a question. He's Lord. He's the Lord. He talks to you, not the other way around. And he has to be put in his place several times. You know.
So you would be Richard Chamberlain then. That's what you're saying, right?
I would like to be Sonata, so the man who's running the show. That's
okay. So you'd be Richard. No, you'd be Richard Chamberlain because you'd be right there. You're like, what do you mean? I can't ask any questions. Don't you know I came here to be the Lord of you people?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is how they acted when they were colonizing all over the world, and so they figured, hey, it'll roll the same way. You got to play. But you have conquistadors and the explorers and the new ones.
I can't think of anyone who's seen both series, and this is no disrespect to Cosmo's portrayal of Blackthorn. But if you look at the two series and you're like, okay, you can be Blackthorn played by Richard Chamberlain, or you can be Blackthorn played by Cosmo. You're gonna just take Richard Chamberlain. He's just much more charismatic. But that, in fairness. That's Richard Chamberlain, and he was already a big star, so he was not going to come over there like, what do you mean? I'm not putting any extra dirt on my face. People need to see this face. You got to be kidding me. Whereas Cosmo, they're directing him to act a different way at the end of the day. But one is definitely going to be more appealing. One is definitely going to be more appealing than the other. And I think the other issue is that I don't expect a lot of people to go looking for the original series like I did to, you know, track it down, because when that came out, oh man, it came out so young when that came out. You know, there's such vague memories of it, but you know, I had to go to the Wayback Machine to find it. It's not on video, or it's not available for streaming anywhere. I had to go to the Wayback Machine in order to find it. The internet database. I had to go there to I could watch it. You know, in preparation for this. And I don't expect a lot of people, even unless they really like it, and then they want to do a comparison. Like when I, you know, finally got a chance, when I saw Dune Part One, you know, I was like, man, I want to go back and see the original film. I would like to see how it was done with the Sci-Fi Channel. If you get a, you know, if you get a hot feeling for it that way. But most of the, I don't expect people to go any further than this. This will be what informs them at the end of the day. And, you know, like, hey, you know, there's, you know, the original version, you know, it's pretty top notch. But this is still, how many episodes is it? It's 5 episodes in out of 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's still plenty of time, still plenty of time. And, you know, I know I've been very critical about certain aspects of the story, but, you know, without a doubt, you know, the setting, the costuming, you know, even the score, all very good, all very good.
I would like to add, since it came out in the 80s, to give it proper context, it was like a show my father was just stuck to the TV watching.
Everybody. So, your father loved it? That's saying a lot.
He was stuck to the TV watching it, yeah. I don't remember him watching the Thornbirds, but definitely this, yeah.
I watched the Thornbirds. I have a greater recollection of that than I do. I don't know which one came first.
I think Thornbirds came first, didn't it?
That might have been it, because then after that, I just remember seeing Richard Chamberlain about and all the stuff, and I never saw. I mean, Kildare, I wasn't even alive when like Dr. Kildare was on, but you know, that was that might have been how I remembered that he was in it, because I remember him from some of the other stuff. Richard, he was just very popular.
Thornbirds came out in 83. This one came in 80, so yeah, 83.
Yeah, for the longest time, I thought that's probably what it is. I was too young to remember him in Shogun, but for the longest time, I thought Richard Chamberlain was British. Because come to find out, he's from California. That's how good his accent was. I was like, oh wow.
Yeah, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, oh man, before this turns into the Richard Chamberlain show, Cosmo, you're doing a great job.
All right, hey, we're gonna continue watching. We hope you guys like it. So. Any other comments before we go? Cal, Petey?
No, I think I'm going to try to catch up, and we're going to continue talking about Shogun, and hopefully you guys keep watching our show and hearing our comments about it.
Let's put it like this, in four episodes, before
we check out, what do you think of Lady Mariko, the current
one? I think
she's
excellent. I think I love the way she is very controlled on how she talks and what she says. I love the actress. She's done a great job in Monarch, right?
Yeah, she just the babe meter is just out the roof. That's all I'm going to say, right? She's just great.
More so than the original Lady Mariko from the 80s series.
The original Lady Mariko was taller, without a doubt. Okay,
it looks like look from the little picture I looked on IMDb. She looked like she was a little more stretched out. But I guess that's a compare with Richard Chamberlain, how tall he was.
Yeah, well, Cosmo's like at least 6 feet, so. You know, and she's the actress who's playing Lady Mariko here is five, you know, I believe she's 5 feet tall. So, you know, you have that. But I don't know. There's some nuances that I liked with Lady Mariko in the original. But I have to say that I'm firmly for both actresses. I like both of their renditions of the character.
And she gets even better as the series progresses. I think that she's put under some strain and you see how she reacts. And she, like I said, very controlled. She does it, you know, the perfect. She's trying to be the perfect set Japanese lady, you know. And you're like, oh, interesting. Very, very interesting. And the other one, and I guess probably because she's American, the other Mariko, you know, I guess she conveys it a little bit better to our sensibilities. But the other one did good. It's just, I prefer this one, actually.
When you say the other one, you mean the first one?
The first one, yeah.
She was American? I thought she was Japanese.
Oh, this one, Anna Sway, I think. Oh, she's not American. She's New Zealander. But she's killing it.
All right, so we got to say the one thing that every time I hear Mariko, I think about is the X-Men. And I'm just like, at some point, I think it just...
Well, you know, I've been bringing this up for years, bro.
What? I knew we couldn't resist. No, go ahead.
I'm just saying that when, because at the time she appeared in the X-Men, I think at that point, I don't think Chris Claremont had read Shogun yet. So Byrne was doing his bits where he threw in Mariko in there and probably wrote the name at the bottom because it was just shamelessly taking from that to throw the name in there. And it stuck. It's been, you know, been Wolverine, not his first love, but his main love, you know, love affair for who knows how long. And we got the Wolverine where we got Omega in there too. So I just want to, every time I hear it, I still think, I still got X-Men on the brain, so.
Oh, you can, Lady Mariko influenced all the dudes. We were all going to Japan and we were all going to get Japanese girlfriends because it was so cool. When we saw her portrayed in the Wolverine limited series at the end of the day. So yeah, yes, so, Chris Claremont stole that.
Here's a quote from Byrne claims Mariko was based on Lady Toda Mariko. Mm-hmm. That was a 1975 Shogun novel. You know,
yeah,
it makes her first appearance February 1979.
Yeah, you know, he said the show came
Chris had
out,
not
yeah.
seen it at that point and not read it at that point.
Yeah.
I absolutely wanted to steal the character, just shamelessly steal the character. And as you probably know, she was created to die. Sorry, that's a spoiler. If you haven't seen
it was going to be an interesting story between they've done it later where a Sabretooth comes out of nowhere and attacks Wolverine. Well, Sabretooth would come out of nowhere and attack Mariko and put her in the hospital. And then the X-Men would go on this major hunt to find Sabretooth. We reveal that get the hint that this was Wolverine's father, and Wolverine wouldn't be regenerated. He would kill Sabretooth, and then they'd have to deal with Mariko, who's on her deathbed, and Wolverine having to face that death type of deal. So, but yeah, but post that, to you know, because there's always a one up between Byrne and Claremont. Claremont did read it, and Wolverine became a samurai. He went way farther with it afterwards, you know. But Wolverine was very much, all he had was Wolverine understanding Japanese. But then once, I guess Claremont got it, you got all of this X-Men stuff connected to Shogun and Japanese culture. Hey. It's synonymous with it.
Taking something that's topical and popular for the time period and putting it on a character that has no business being connected to this in the first place. Yes. Sounds like Chris Claremont.
Yes. Yeah.
We're not going to go there with Chris Claremont.
It's a successful way to work, man. It's been successful for him.
X-Men writers of all time.
It's successful for him. I can't hold, I mean, I it bothers me, but at the same time, it's what kept the X-Men being the top book, so.
Right, and don't forget, this is the time you have the whole burn. Right. You have the whole.
Say it, or you want me to say it?
You say it. I'm trying to hold back me going to my normal self. You say it.
Hey, Byrne, I got a story for you.
So remember, this is a time period where you had the White Ninja came out, the book. You know, you had a lot of different the whole Japanese growing and taking over the world, and so. This was coming into media all over the place, you know, and of course you had I always consider it the start of a lot of the stuff with people wanting to know more about like the martial arts, starting with Bruce Lee and stuff. And then of course, Japan and all that, and they're different, but you know, all in that for most Americans, Asia was a lot of just one big place as opposed to just different cultures and stuff that we know now. The same way now Korea has taken over, you know, K-pop this, K-pop that has taken over. But back then, we had that steady drama of the ninjas, the yakuzas, the samurais, and that's all people used to talk about. So.
Well, I'd add in here is that before X-Men, before Frank Miller and Daredevil, we had Archie Goodwin and Walter Simonson. Not only did they do Manhunter, which had some ninjas and stuff like that in it, they also had a couple stories they did in the past, like early, like one, like, stuff that was in anthologies for DC that had a ninja in there. And then it's the art, a writer named Archie Goodwin. It was the stuff he did for DC, and they had a character called Manhunter. Now, when Manhunter was re-released in 83, the kids saw this and they said, how are they stealing from Frank Miller? And it's like, no, this is a reprint from the 70s. They're like, no, Frank Miller brought the ninjas to to Marvel. Why are they copying? And it's like, no, this is a reprint, kids. But it's saying that it's good to see when people who in the past, you know, it's not just Byrne and Claremont, it's Archie Goodwin, who's a very, you know, great writer in Marvel and DC. So, and Warren Comic Book, Warren Magazine. So It's a, the culture, not only with the kids watching the movies, watching the stuff on the other side, like the karate stuff, but then the Asian culture, you just see it building, and obviously Shogun, for not only the kids, but for adults. This was like, you know, adult drama in the 80s. And then now we have something where hopefully it's having that same effect, having an effect where it's kids and adults watching these shows. So.
Yep, I see what you're saying. But remember, Manhunter, didn't that come out in the 40s, right? First.
No, that wasn't, but it had nothing connection to do with, that was just another Simon and Kirby book. It was just like an action story. It had nothing to connect. It had the idea of the, you know, the hunt Manhunter type deal, but it wasn't what they'd done. They did, and they changed the character's look entirely. He was like the opposite of Batman. He was like a character that was flashy. He had these like the flashy weapons and whatnot. It was colorful. That sort of thing. So he's supposed to be kind of the opposite of Batman when they did it.
But he wasn't a billionaire.
Definitely not a billionaire.
Okay. All right, guys. We digress. All right. We're giving Shogun 3 stars. That's the top of our list. Everybody gave it 1 whole star. That means it's like a 5 on a regular scale or a 10 on a regular scale. So hey, Spinnerack.
Out.